So, we have been going through, obviously, the Gospel of John, and I have thrown, I forgot to send it to you, I promise you, I'll send it out later today. This is all the notes I've given you, I'm going to send you out an updated one. I have, at this point in time, just about 35 pages of notes. Okay, so it's a small book. As I was thinking about this, instead of giving you something new today, and I don't want to obviously go over everything, let me just ask you a few questions, and then I want to hear, I don't want to give you more information without you at least taking some of it in and being in you. Does that make sense? You can recall it from your memory, you are processing it, you are living it out, you are applying it. That makes sense? So, the basic thing that I think you need to know, other than the theme verse, which is, of course, what? Not, where is it located? John
20:31.
31, okay. These things were written in order that you may believe. Okay? That's the whole purpose of this book. That is why some people recommend, if you're an unbeliever or a new believer, start out with the Gospel of John, even though it's kind of hard to follow. Now, how is it broken down in three sections? Do you remember?
Days.
In an outline form, yeah. There's three outline form. There are three sections of the Gospel of John. So if you don't know it by now, just look at me. Don't go searching through your notes. Okay, and then you probably want to write this down. The first 18 verses are theology. Remember that? That's John chapter 1. That's the theology. Then he goes into, kind of his first witness. But chapters 2 through 12 are his public ministry. Basically, the first chapter is theology, and he introduces John the Baptist, okay? He proves that Jesus is the Son of God. Chapters 2 through 12, okay, are his public ministry, and then chapters 13 through 18 are his private ministry to the disciples. And then the last two chapters are what? His death and resurrection. Yeah, all that.
So 13 through...
Let me make sure I'm getting that right. So... Here we go. Chapters 2 through 12 are his public ministry. Chapters 13 through 17 is his private ministry in the upper room to the disciples. Okay? And chapters 18 to 21 cover his death and resurrection. But chapter 1, which is really the 18 verses, even though he introduces John the Baptist, is the deep theology that we went through. The Shekinah glory, all of that. Okay? So basically, if I were to break it down, easiest form. Chapter 1 is a lot of theology. Chapters 2 through 12 are his public ministry. 13 through 17, his private ministry in the upper room to the disciples. Okay? And then chapters 18 to 21 are his death and resurrection. That's a basic breakdown. Okay? Now there are obviously witnesses that he brings forth. Okay? And what we have gone over so far, and you need not even finish in chapter 2, are sets of witnesses. Okay? There are three sets of witnesses that he, John the Baptist, talks to in his testimony. Who were they?
Sanhedrin.
And we gave them all Fs. Remember that to help you remember them?
The
false religious leaders, the faithless crowd, and then the faithful few. Remember those? I'm trying to get them in with all F's so they're easy to remember. And what was significant about what the testimony of John the Baptist was to the religious leadership? In essence, what did he say? And Roberta got this right last week.
He's here.
He's here.
Behold him.
Behold him. He's here. Okay? Then he says to the crowd,
behold him.
Look at him.
Yeah.
Behold him. Look at him, right? Behold the Lamb of God. Then he says to the disciples, there's just two of them. Good. What is it?
Follow him.
Follow him. You guys got that? That was the testimony of John the Baptist. Okay? Then we have the testimony of the disciples. The two disciples that were disciples of John the Baptist that John said, don't follow me anymore, follow him, were who? Andrew and I think it was John, the Apostle John. They go and talk to who?
Peter and Nathaniel.
Philip.
Oh.
Right? And the last one they talk to is Nathaniel. All right? And Nathaniel was unique because he was what?
A true Jew,
meaning he was already a believer. That was what was rare. Okay?
So he was an Old Testament true believer.
Yeah.
That had faith because he was looking to the Christ who would come to save him.
And so it didn't take a lot to convince Nathaniel because what did he say? When Jesus came to him, he'd already heard about him from
the
behold, oh my gosh, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And so, yeah, so that's the testimony of John the Baptist and the testimony of the some of the disciples. Okay.
Now, are there? I know this is theoretical, but are there probably other disciples or other people that were true believers that just aren't referenced in the Word?
From this, I'm sure that there may have been, but from this testimony, from this gospel, no.
Okay.
And all of this is happening in what time frame?
4 days.
3 days.
About 4 days. And then the wedding happens about 3 days later, and it's about a week, the whole week's time, and there's the wedding. Okay, and that was his first miracle. Okay.
Right.
So you have these 120 to 180 gallons of water that was used just to clean yourself and dishes and stuff like that. And he supernaturally creates wine out of nothing. He creates all this wine. It's the best tasting wine ever. And the witnesses to that were who?
The servants.
And the head waiter. And
his mother.
And the disciples. They're worth it. Because that particular miracle was for who?
Excuse me.
For the disciples, so that they would believe. Okay? They began to believe in him.
So they were still in the position where they were still seeking and they hadn't.
Watch this for. I was reading this.
Completely been converted.
Yeah. You're going to read on in chapter 2 and in other places that zeal for thy house consumes me. They remembered that. And I'll destroy this temple and raise it up in 3 days. When did they realize that he was speaking about his body?
After
his resurrection.
Yeah.
So they were with it for 3 years and they were just continuing to really believe in him. So believing in him is obviously about process, okay? They would need all those confirmations, all of those encouragements as they would continue to believe in him, because how strong must their faith be? Because what was going to happen to them?
They'd be persecuted.
They'd be martyred, okay? And so they had to really believe. So,
is that where that verse comes in? Did not our hearts burn within us?
That's the road to Emmaus.
Road to Emmaus, yeah. That's different.
Right, that's different. So the disciples, the servants, the head waiter, all of them experienced that miracle. The only other thing we talked about that seemed to get some of you emotional, particularly your mothers, is the change in Jesus' relationship with his mother.
Yeah.
Erica teared up when I was talking about this, and we talked about it when we got home. But the fact that his relationship, it really needed to change, because she would have been, I think, crushed if she... He was an authority over her now. She was no longer an authority over him. He was all about his father's business. That's why he calls her a woman. Okay.
That was a new revelation for me.
No, it was for me too, as I studied it. So, yeah. He's all about his father's business. He only does what his father tells him to do. He only speaks the words he hears from his father. He only does the will of the father. All of that. Okay. Any questions so far? So we talked about him being the light of the world and what that means. We talked about him displaying his glory and that Shekinah glory, him being light and existing in light. We went in depth about that, Moses and all that. That's who he is. That's what they saw, the transfiguration. But they also beheld his glory in a different way. And what was that? The disciples beheld his glory. No, we already talked about that in chapter 1, but chapter 2 we talked about another type of glory that they saw. They said, we beheld his glory. What was that? It's not just a transfiguration, seeing him exist in light, who he really is.
Manifestation of his works.
That miracle. We beheld his glory. That was the first sign. See that? We beheld his glory. Chapter 2. Turning the water to the wine. And they believed in him and he knew more. Okay? So now, let me ask you this. Every Sunday when we come here, I'm always, as a good teacher would do, or any teacher would do, you kind of go over some stuff, and then you teach something new. And so why do I go over stuff over and over again?
Because we don't remember.
Putting in our fixed goals.
Yeah, yes, and the same thing for me. Okay, if I was in your position and wasn't teaching, I'd have to, you got to put out effort. I had to study my teachers, professors, and really get down what I thought was important, and kind of stroke their ego. They're going to probably test other notes more than the reading, and of course that always was the case, and that's how I got through college.
But it's also said repetition builds retention.
Right, and so we're older. I see my mind slipping, to be honest with you. So
so do we.
Yes. So. Yeah, I can imagine that too. So.
Yeah, there's that.
Now that being said, okay. How do we get it from your mind to your heart? I can't do that for you. How do we do that?
Meditate
on it. So if I keep going over it and over, you keep writing the same stuff down every Sunday, either we're just taking notes now and it goes in a file and is opened up next Sunday, and meaning it's having absolutely no impact in your daily life, then it's just, this is a lecture, and this is not what it is. This is not a lecture. So I need to know what are you remembering? How is it applying? You apply it to your life? You remind me of me in fifth grade, because I asked a question and whenever I didn't want to answer, I was looking down at the book. They did not want to look at me because he couldn't pick on me. I made a mistake looking up. Oh, geez, now I have to say something.
I dropped something on
the yes.
Floor. Yeah. Right now it's just opening up. I'm trying to absorb it because it's opening up more than, like, his relationship with his mother and the wine from nothing filled to the top. I mean, I'm thinking about, you know, the fact that the disciples still, they struggle to believe throughout his whole ministry. I mean, he even got frustrated and he still don't understand, you know. And so it's, for me, it's trying to absorb what I, more than what I just read when I read it, so.
So let me just, let's just grill ourselves, okay? Are you thinking about it by a show of hands? We're going to embarrass ourselves. Are you thinking about it at all during the week?
Yeah, I have. Maybe not every day, but I do.
Okay.
Sometimes.
Okay, then what, then what are you thinking about? Because what I do is I will pray through it. I'm preparing it too, but I will also pray through it. And praise him for what I learned about him being the Shekinah glory and all of that. That way I can make it somewhat more daily. And it's, it, if I pray through it, it's going to get in here more and more and more. Okay? So, what do you, have you thought about, Roberta?
It's hard to remember.
Sure.
Yeah, it's hard to remember. I mean, I gotta be honest. I take this stuff home and I set it down and then I go about my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I work and then I take a nap,
mm-hmm.
which I should probably be doing this instead of taking a nap.
Well, I don't, I would argue against that, taking a nap to get the energy and then go, that's what I do.
Yeah.
If you ever watch a video of me during the week, you can look up me in the library. I'm studying, I'm tired. This is the way it's done. I will go and I will lay down.
Yeah.
And I heard years ago a pastor, very famous in Detroit, 40 years, he asked what was the secret to longevity of ministry, and he said he just took a nap every day.
Well, I had to live a long time then.
So what are you...
So, I mean, I feel like I owe you, you know, I should not feel that I owe you an apology.
No, you don't.
I owe God an apology.
Right.
For not... being in his word like I should be.
Well, it's not good. That's true, but I'm asking you about this particular study. Because there's also, for me, it's a study. It's also a sermon preparing. It's also my own personal time with the Lord. That's three things in a male brain that hurts. You know?
And you got to compartmentalize
yes.
all of it.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of organization.
So what are you thinking about, Carol? I appreciate the honesty. But now we know what to do with Roberta, because she's going to share next week.
Excommunicate me?
No.
It would help if I had some of your notes instead of this mess.
Well, I did send you my notes. That's the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I have those. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But I only got them about 8 weeks ago, so I haven't had a chance to.
Okay. Well, let me give you guys a hint then. Whenever I'm teaching and you learn something new, okay, and maybe it's like a little bit of a mini aha moment. You didn't know that, and you get kind of excited about that. What do you think that is in you?
The Holy Spirit. That is the Holy.
So then who's speaking to you?
God's Word.
Are you going to explore it further, or are you going to file it away and it'll be gone?
Well, for me, it helps that Don isn't in this class, and so I can share some of those ahas with him, because
yeah.
that's what happened. I said, oh, guess what? Talked about, you know, woman, what does that have to do with me? And, you know, was able to talk to him about all that. So that cemented that further in me of what that was. But because my other reading is not this,
mm-hmm.
and that's on a day-to-day thing that I go through and try to get done, I tend to do that more than this.
And all I'm asking you to do is, if you have a moment where you learn something, you get a sense in your spirit, and this is what we've been hammering on, all of us, since the moment I got here, you have to respond. It's a relationship. You respond to his voice, his leading, in the variety of ways that he speaks. I don't want you following rules. I don't want legalists. I will oppose that. But I want you to respond to that. That is God speaking to you. Okay?
Pastor, can I share something?
Sure.
Well,
I received another revelation about how I should spend the money that God has blessed me with. To be, it's through Dave Ramsey. He's an author of books about finances. Mm-hmm. And he has also a toll-free number where people get financial advice. So what revelation I received is that, well, it's been a long time, since 2011, that the Lord have prompted me that I am vain, that I buy a lot of clothes that I don't need. And so that's like 2011, how many years ago now? So from now on, I said, Lord, I will, according to Dave Ramsey, people are poor because we don't spend our money intentionally. That when we do things, it has to be mindful. Do we need it? Is it important? So that's another revelation that I receive, to not just because it's cheap, but do we need it? It's important. So I said, Lord, okay, there's another revelation that I learned from you, that the blessing that we receive, we're just a manager. That we have to be aware if what we spend is really important. Do we really need it? Mm-hmm. So I said, Lord, help me to be mindful on how I spend the blessing that comes from you. So that's another revelation that I receive, even though I know that I am wise in spending the money, but there are times that I spend it because it's cheap and I don't need it.
Yeah, we all do. Marie, you raise your hand. You raise your hand that you missed it
all. Well, every week is a little bit different. So, yeah. I mean, in the beginning especially, it's interesting to think about John the Baptist and him coming out, this group of people that grew up knowing the Messiah was coming, but yet you have to keep being reminded over and over and over and over again.
Like,
you still don't believe who he is. And, you know, that kind of perplexes me in a lot of ways, thinking if he was right there in front of us. But it does tie into the people you meet every day, and you're trying to explain to them who Jesus is. The thing about Mary, I actually kind of had thought about that before a little bit, because I kept thinking about all my friends who are Catholic and look at Mary as a deity of some sort. And she's a mother. That's it. She is Jesus, but she was a vehicle. She was a means to an end. So it didn't surprise me to think about. I didn't really correlate it that way exactly, but it didn't surprise me to hear that, you know, he's trying to get her point across that, you know, their relationship is different. But I do think about that. You know, I have a lot of time to think when I'm working because I'm answering a lot of phones. I'm spending a lot of downtime, so. But it's interesting to tie it all together. And John always makes me think of how people just are thick-headed, not just us. You know, we might not remember stuff. These people could not, even the people that believed had a hard time believing. Mm-hmm. Even they had doubts, even though they were seeing him, how affected they were by everyone around them, and making sure that we are not affected the same way.
I think
that I'm not affected the same way.
I think they're easier than they do, because we're looking back in history.
Sure.
For lack of a better term, let's say Roger Akadol is Jesus Christ. Would we really believe in him? Because he doesn't look like a God-man to me. And there was nothing about his appearance, you know, that Jesus that stood out. Okay. And even after seeing him for who he is in the Transfiguration, they still have had more to believe. You know. And so.
Yeah,
Yeah. All of that.
Sometimes nature.
And we have, I don't know about you, but I have multiple Bibles.
I do too.
And everything they had was, they had to memorize. I mean, other than going to the, you know, synagogues or whatever and hearing, they didn't have their own.
But they didn't have to translate it all. It was all in the original language. So we're...
But, I mean, they still had to have it memorized. They had to remember it to repeat it.
So you, what was your aha moment, the thing that you learned that stood out to you? We'll start, Colette, with you. And then Shannon.
Well, I've been thinking about it through the week, and, you know, I can see myself in some of these disciples of how stubborn I am and not seeing what's in front of me. And wanting to believe but not really giving my whole heart yet because I'm unsure and uncertainty that they had. They knew that he was a Messiah, but yet they didn't fully embrace it, I think, until later in his ministry. Especially when Tell they got to the private room, they followed him, but they always questioned him. And that's me, I'm always questioning him all the time. And then I'm like, you know, why do I question you? I know the Bible's true. I know what you did. Why am I so stubborn, you know, and not seeing that? And, you know, I'm like, you know, thank you for all that you did, all you suffered, because you suffered more than I have ever suffered. Right now my life's a dumpster fire and I can't stop my mind, but he went through more, so why am I complaining?
From chapter 2 on, just an FYI, this may speak to you, it may not, did me. He's on a divine timetable. Because he started his ministry and he knows he has roughly 3 years. So everything he is doing is going to lead him to the cross. Every circumstance, everything. He will provoke conflict. He knows that they're going to, what they're going to do to him. I mean, you know, that was awful. Being a, you know, for example, having a superior Ohio State football team lose to Emory, Michigan. You know, it was awful watching that game yesterday. We didn't enjoy it at all.
Is that the one where they got a big brawl afterwards?
Yeah, I turned it off because it was just like, it wasn't enjoyable. I've been through games like that before, and I just was comforted by the fact there's no way Michigan should have won. Everything had to go this way, and God or somebody worked all that out so that happened, because everybody had them beating them big.
This is yesterday.
My point being is that God is sovereign over every circumstance in his son's life. We know that. But this is where I remember it. He is sovereign over, you're on a divine timetable too. Think of it this way. You are immortal until the day you die. Nothing can change that. And just, you shift from your mentality, from a physical immortal body, to a, has already existed, a spiritual immortal body that will be reunited with a glorified body. But you are immortal. Nothing the enemy can do can change that.
Kill the body, but you can't kill.
Where's that at? Well, we are all on a divine timetable. That means that everything that comes into our lives is by the plan of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Shannon, what did you, was your aha moment?
I don't know aha, but I think the thing that I thought about probably the most was earlier about the light, about Jesus being the light. Because I think I always thought of it as, you know, just this beacon who, you know, we're drawn to, but it's actual life. And I love the first, you know, 5 verses of the, you know, beginning that I memorized it because I just love, you know, the life shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. And I always just kind of thought of it as kind of a vague, you know, light, but I don't know, it's just, it's more. He is just light. I mean, that's life. And what else did it? You had said something, Christ is to the souls of men like the sun is to the world. So, and the true light gives life to everyone. And the light, and we're supposed to be light as well. So just that whole, I was just drawn to the light. What it means, how much deeper it was than I originally thought it was.
Roger?
I cannot recall at will, and 5 minutes from now I won't remember any of this, or I won't be able to recall any of this. But when I'm writing things from my Bullside Mission page on Facebook, I have to trust the Holy Spirit to bring the words and stuff. And I'm learning more to trust in Him and that trust the words that He's given me. That it's not necessarily me, and I'm afraid to write something that's in error, because I don't know I know it. If I don't know it, the Spirit isn't me. And I just over the past week or two, it's been coming more and more, realizing that it's not me, it's He. And it's just trusting Him and trusting the words He gives me to write. And then it's just been a total increase in blessing.
Okay. Debbie George. By the way, Debbie, did you make those chocolate cookies last week?
I baked them.
You baked them? They were outstanding.
They were really good.
They were really good. I ate, like, too many of them. They were that good.
They were trying to perfect the recipe, and so he didn't know they were that good. And I kept saying, they are good.
So who you just baked them?
I bake them, but
he mixed it.
He mixes it. And he's looking for perfection.
Well, Lloyd, they were good, and so I'm expecting those for a Christmas gift. Okay.
Hear that, Lloyd?
And I want them once a month. It's the gift that keeps on giving throughout the year. Okay.
Wants to become the cookie of the month.
Yeah. No, they were so good, Lloyd. I told David was there. I told Lydia, these were rather your cookies. Lydia makes naturally just a good baker, is like outstanding cookies. And we all were like, oh my gosh, these are the first time he made these, and Lloyd's like, these are really good. So whenever she comes home, she usually makes me cookies. But these were like almost basically as good as hers were, and she didn't like them.
So, she's got competition.
Yeah.
Do you share the recipe, or is this his family secret?
No,
or can you
reset it out?
Yeah, but did you mix it enough and then not remember what you did?
Well, it's cookies. Are they healthy?
But she made them. When you bake them, they weren't soft. They were just crispy, which was
huge
outstanding.
They were good.
They were really good. But I'm hungry for cookies, so it's soft. Debbie?
Well, I found that in the last week, we dedicated more time to studying this two chapters,
yeah,
you know, of Jesus and John the Baptist, witnessing it. Now that we have another person at our house that really gets into the Bible, and that's Dan, and we've had more time where we're not being busy with other things, and so we dive into the Bible, you know, morning or in the night before going to bed. I think it just enriches my life.
Okay.
It makes me think more on what was happening with Jesus. And makes me stop, you know, when I'm doing things or I'm thinking things or something comes up and I'm more like, stop.
Great.
I think that one of the things that has really struck me is a lot of times we watch programs like the Chosen or what have you, we see these miracles happen. There's water turning blind, blindness being able to see again and such. And it happens so quick while we're watching that. You don't get the depth of what really is behind the meaning of that. Going through this has really opened my eyes to realize that, see some of the miracles and the blessings in my life that Jesus has blessed me with. Just being able to understand a little bit more of where it's coming from and helps me put a little bit more emphasis on my prayer in the morning just to thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me and pulling me out of the mess that I was in. So, and sometimes it doesn't happen quite as quickly as I would prefer, but, you know, it gives me a little more hope for knowing that this isn't it. This is, yeah, we've got a lot more to live for.
Yeah. Lloyd?
Well, I found some things that I misinterpreted in Scripture.
Okay.
And that was that one passage regarding John the Baptist that men believed in Jesus because of him. And I took the him as being Jesus, but it was actually referring back to John. So that stood as a correction in English, because English is my second language. So, you know, my first language is grunting and pointing.
I can decipher that.
Caveman?
I struggle with English. So.
I was starting to be impressed.
Shannon's face is red.
That wasn't what I was expecting.
You don't expect that from Lloyd. So.
No.
It's very serious.
Yeah, that was very serious. But it's just like we were going through chapter 2, and then we had some issues with it because of the cleansing of the temple. And that was just a couple days ago. And
we haven't done it yet.
I know, but we went through it, and then it just, and I forgot an old commentary I had heard, I don't know, 30 years ago. It wasn't that, because I always think of it as being toward the end, or as Matthew put it, right toward the end, the cleansing of the temple. But this is right in the beginning. And, well, he did it twice. He was just, and that's where the zeal was. His disciples were there. And then he reviewed the, what's going on, you know, with John, because I thought that he was being baptized at the time John was speaking to the believers. He was baptized 40 days before that. So we're going back through that and just kind of piece it all together chronologically as we look where John was in his time frame regarding the rest of the Gospels. So that we kind of went through that with the man as far as what we thought was being said.
Yeah. John the Baptist, we'll close with this. John the Baptist has a ministry, right? And how many people were following him? Do you remember this?
Multitudes.
Probably thousands and tens of thousands of people. How many baptized by him? He was a popular guy. That was why he was one of the first witness. He believed that, John, the Apostle John, was up. Okay. What was he preaching? His baptism was on repentance. What was he preaching? He was the prepare the way for Jesus the Messiah. Look, hold him. Look at him. Follow him. So he was preaching Jesus. Okay? Now let's take that and let's. This church shuts down and you gotta go to another church. What's your criteria for going to a new church? This church shuts down, you have to go to a new church. What's your criteria? What'd you say, Marie?
They're preaching Jesus.
There we go.
Jesus is the light. Okay. Jesus is the Messiah.
It's all about him. And everything points to him. Okay? So, in 2020, with that cultural societal revolution, and churches got sucked into becoming both, particularly preaching what? A social gospel, critical race theory, all of that. They stopped preaching Jesus and they started preaching.
But were they ever preaching Jesus?
Yeah. Well, David Platt was for a while. And so, if you're going to, just if it's all going to be about Jesus, then you're going to preach Jesus, and you're going to be talking about the things of Jesus, you would never embrace any political party that is in opposition to him. For it's in opposition to righteousness, which are what he's all about. And so, this crazy political season, all what happened, you know, 4 years ago, and of course it was a narrative. We were lied to as to why George Floyd died and all of that. We're lied to even about the vaccination and all that. So there's other things that you can take out from this and apply it to your life. Behold him, look at him, worship him. Okay? Which is basically what the next Advent sermon series is going to be about. He's coming again, right? Or he's coming. Advent season. We need to prepare for his coming. And that's what we're talking about. Looking at him, beholding him, being with him, making him, you know, the priority. And so we've been given a lot of information. You're remembering very, very little of it. And that's not, I mean, this, the format is what it is. But a good teacher will at least try and extract it out of you and see where's God working in your life. You know, and I appreciate, at least she's honest for her, but it's probably a lot of us. We take it, we learn a few things, store it until we come back, and you know, refresh yourself. Unless you have a mind that actually remembers stuff. Yeah, so you'll never get your mind slips. So.
Yeah. And I mean, I've had aha moments while I'm in here.
Yeah.
But then I don't take those aha moments and go home and then go over again. Because that's, I start getting ready for the rest of my week.
The only thing I suggest, and I'll close with this, is that as you are, you want to really make this a part of your life, you want to be transformed by the renewal of your mind, or renewing your mind, then you need to practice the daily office. Remember that? What is that? Well, it's what Daniel did. We talked about it last week. What did Daniel do?
Went up and prayed.
How many times a day did he pray?
Three.
He followed the pattern of the thing of Daniel. So he would pray, probably start morning off, get some focus right, do the work of a prime minister, lose some focus, go refocus and pray in the middle of the day. Do more work, lose the focus, refocus. focus again, pray at night, when you need to do, go to bed, restart that cycle. That was probably so needy for him, required for him, that why did he require it to get lived in? So constantly, Jesus constantly pulled away through the Father. So we'll finish up, I think, hopefully chapter 2 next week. Okay? Well, I thank you for this time as we prepare ourselves for communion, and for worshiping, and for learning. We ask that you would meet us where we are. You bless us with your presence. And make us sensitive to the Spirit's leading in our lives.